If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
The current proposal by the PA is actually going to get a lot of guys hurt. You know, football is a sport where you do actually need to practice in your pads during training camp a little bit. I mean, you have to get used to the physicality of the game, and your body has to get used to being hit in different stress points, in different angles. And the current setup is only 8 padded practices between the time they report and the first week of the season. That, to me, is not enough for your body to be ready to play football.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, July 6, 2020, 9:05 in the a.m. That was former Chief Jeff Schwartz, brother of Mitchell Schwartz, talking on ESPN about 2 preseason games, or if the NFLPA has their way, no preseason games. Let's talk to Adam Teicher about that from ESPN. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Good. Steven, how are you guys doing today?
Doing very well. Hope you had a good holiday weekend. Thanks for talking football with us. Let's talk about what Jeff Schwartz said. Many sources reported on, I think it was Wednesday or so last week, that the NFL teams had decided to go from 4 preseason games to 2 preseason games, and then the NFLPA had their conference call, and they voted on a proposal to have 0 preseason games. So what do you think of this, and do you think we're going to have any preseason games at all?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the momentum is for no games, but the league wants, a couple. So we'll see where this goes. I think the situation is still fluid. But as far as what Jeff Schwartz said, I absolutely agree with him. Football's a different animal. You've got to play football to get ready to play football, if that makes any sense. And, there have been a lot of studies that guys who miss all or most of training camp for whatever reason, whether it's an injury or contract thing, whatever, these guys get hurt at a higher rate than regular guys do. I mean, it just takes a while to get a body into condition to play some football. So this is a real dilemma for these guys. I get the thought on the part of the players that, hey, we want to minimize this as much as possible, but at some point, you got to get ready for the season, too. So it's a real dilemma for sure.
The dilemma is a great word, because we're facing a lot of dilemmas in this country right now where you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't on a lot of things. The options are not great. And in order to be able to pull these things off, I feel like you got to try to get some people rowing in the same direction. Do you think this will get ugly between the players and the owners? Because the last thing we need in football is to see the kind of acrimony that we've saw in baseball that derailed things for so long there.
Yeah, well, it could. I mean, I can see why the players would dig in on some of these things. I mean, that makes complete sense to me. And what we're seeing with baseball right now, and is it an understatement to say that this restart with Major League Baseball has not gone well so far? I mean, it seems like the testing has been a disaster. I mean, hopefully the NFL has a better solution than what Major League Baseball has come up with, at least so far. But, I can see this getting ugly, because if I was a player, I'd want some guarantees here. I want some assurances, and I certainly would want my employer to follow through on those.
Adam Teicher is our guest. Adam, also, since we last spoke, there was a lot of talk about Chris Jones and now his threat to not play if he's not happy with his situation. So the first question I have for you is, what are the chances he actually sits out and misses games?
I think if you're going to make that declaration publicly, I think you feel like that's the plan. You can't make that declaration and then show up and sign the contract on the first day of camp and say, well, I was just kidding. I mean, no one will ever take you seriously again. So, you know, you don't say those things. You don't say those things lightly. You just can't if you're Chris Jones. So I take him seriously. And I've been taking that part of the things seriously for a while now. I mean, I thought that was always on the table. And I think, you know, one of the worst fears among all this for the Chiefs is that they've got Chris Jones counting $16 million against their salary cap and getting nothing in return for it because he's not playing. So, you know, they're you know, that's the leverage that he's got here. So, you know, it's I take him seriously, though. I think there is a chance that if the teams can't get a deal done by next week, which I think is looking more and more likely, then I do take him seriously that at least at the start he plans to sit out.
The Chiefs can't pay him what he wants, can they?
It's hard, you know. It's definitely going to be difficult. And, you know, if you didn't have Mahomes' contract looming on the horizon, then maybe, you know, maybe things would be different. But they do, you know. And it seems to me that the Chiefs sort of, I've been saying this for some time, most of the last year, that the Chiefs seem to have made up their mind on Chris Jones when they signed Frank Clark and traded for Frank Clark, that you know, they now that puts Chris Jones in his demands in that ballpark, and can you have two of those guys with all the other things you've got going on, including the looming deal for Mahomes? So I just don't know how the Chiefs can afford that. I'm sure there are some ways where they can structure some things. But their margin for error isn't great right now as it is in terms of contracts and stuff. I mean, they got to get these things right because they got to make sure that whatever dollar, big dollars contracts they spend, they get production out of them. And you know, so far they've been pretty good in that regard. And you have to feel good that regardless of whatever they eventually give Pat Mahomes a new contract, that he's going to be worth that as well. But you know, Chris Jones, I get Chris Jones' position here. I'd want to get paid what Frank Clark got paid, too, because he's been doing it here for 4 years and doing it at a high level, and I get it on his part. But it's a dilemma for the Chiefs, for sure.
Adam Teicher is our guest. Adam, another big story over the weekend was the release that was sent out from the Washington Redskins, suggesting that they are at least reviewing the name, the Washington Redskins, and which would lead you to believe they're at least considering changing the name. And of course, a lot of this is because of pressure from FedEx and now the partners that own 40% of the team. They are wanting to sell. They want out. So a lot of the money around the Washington Redskins forcing Dan Snyder to do this. What's your reaction to this story? And then the follow-up, do you think that the Chiefs are going to have to review things? Do you think the Chiefs are next in this? The Cleveland Indians also are reviewing their situation.
Yeah, as far as the Redskins, I'm not sure what's to review. You know, people have been pleading with them for years now to change that name, and you know, they've resisted, and so now it seems like the only reason they're doing this, obviously, is for financial reasons. It's going to hurt them at the pocketbook, and you know, so the only thing they could possibly be reviewing at this point is how much money actually they would lose if their sponsors follow through on this, if they don't change the name. And also, you know, is it possible maybe to line up some other replacement sponsors who can, you know, who would back the team if it remained the Redskins? But other than that, there's really nothing else to review here. It's pretty cut and dried what they need to do. So I feel like it probably will happen sooner rather than later. Now, as far as the Chiefs, you know, they haven't been quite where the Redskins have been or the Cleveland Indians have been. I mean, they distanced themselves quite some time ago with all that imagery. But, you know, there's still some of that in the stands at Arrowhead, as we know. And you know, I think the Chiefs have some things to do. I don't know that it would ever come to the point where they would change their name or even need to change their name. But, you know, I think the Chiefs have made a lot of light calls in that regard over the years. But, you know, still something to think about for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and when you talk about the money for the Redskins, FedEx, I believe Nike got involved as well over the weekend. That's when real decisions start being made. From the Chiefs side of things, Adam, I guess they have taken steps to try to incorporate local Native Americans in the I guess, you know, the activities at Arrowhead Stadium and honoring the legacy and all that. That's going to be have to be a big component of any team that has a team name affiliated with Native Americans going forward, right? If they want to have a chance of keeping that name.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the Chiefs, I guess I can't speak so much to the Cleveland Indians. I know that they, you know, it's only been, what, a year or so since they've lost that or got rid of that obnoxious mascot that they've used for years, you know, that logo that they used for years. But it's certainly in the case of the Redskins, the Chiefs have done more to work with Native American groups than the Redskins have, and that's for sure. Now, whether that's you know, enough for the Chiefs, I don't know. I really can't say in that regard, but I think the Chiefs have taken some steps in recent years to sort of work with some local groups, and yeah, that has helped in that regard for sure.
Do you think they'll be forced to stop promoting the tomahawk chop during games?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable step and a logical step. So I would think so. Now, whether the fans, go along with that, I guess we'll have to see here. But
they will not.
I think that's a logical conclusion as well. So, I think the Chiefs will have to work in that regard for sure.
Adam Teicher from ESPN is our guest. And, Adam, as we hopefully get closer to the season, we'll start to hear a little bit more about the protocols and everything else for the players and the Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 personnel. I know that they've recently sent out the protocol for the NFL media and how training camp will be covered. I'm curious how much you've seen of that and what you think training camp's going to be like, because I read through quite a bit of it, and that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I looked at it not carefully, just kind of gave it a quick review the other day. I'll get into it more later, but it sounds, some of the things sound reasonable. I think that I think that doing in-person interviews and open locker rooms and that kind of thing would be irresponsible to everybody involved, not just the coaches and the players, but the media members as well. So I do feel like that's a reasonable step for the league to take. I think limiting the number of personnel is probably a good move. The number of media members that can cover is probably a good move. You can't have as many people around as before, particularly, the fans don't know this, but the Chiefs media room has just been cramped beyond belief a lot of times. I mean, it's been hard to work in there because there's just been so many people. It's one of the smallest in the league, and so the Chiefs will have to take some steps to pare that down. There seem to be some things in there that had nothing to do with COVID. As far as what media members would be able to report from practice, that I think the league is sort of taking advantage of a situation here, maybe that, okay, we can, impose some new rules on you that have nothing to do with the situation here that I'm wondering about a little bit. But as far as the rules, at least as I understand them right now, they seem to make some sense here. I think, you know, we're in such an extraordinary situation here that it's hard maybe to find a good balance. But I think maybe the NFL did about as much as you could reasonably ask in that regard.
You know, I think, look, it's always better to be able to interview someone in person, whether it's on the radio or it doesn't matter, and then you get a chance to develop a good relationship. I mean, the opportunity that Nate and I had to sit down with a different player every week in person for, you know, 20 or 25 minutes, there's nothing you can do to substitute that in building a relationship with a player, building trust. But I will say the Chiefs and the Royals, and I think Mizzou football with Eli Drinkwitz, have all done really a really good job of making people available and trying to roll with this with the with Zoom. I mean, you know, if this would have happened 10 or 15 years ago without the technology, it would have been far more difficult. But I think the access has been, considering what's going on, I think the access that the Chiefs have provided and the Royals and some of the college teams have been really, really good. And in some ways, we've been able to get even more access and more interviews than we normally would, Adam. And so I know it's not perfect, but I think the Chiefs specifically done a pretty damn good job of making people available and being able to hear from different players and coaches.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs have done a nice job. I can't speak so much to the Royals and Mizzou, but I can speak to the Chiefs. They have done a nice job. And in the bigger picture, I think the NFL has really encouraged that. I talked to some people with the Pro Football Writers Association who have talked about the difficulties as we've gone on here before the MLB started up and all that, the difficulties that writers and other media members who have covered NBA teams, NHL teams, Major League Baseball teams have had in getting interviews done. And it seems like the NFL and their teams, including the Chiefs, were way ahead of what other teams and other leagues were doing. So I do feel pretty good that the NFL is making a reasonable, and the Chiefs are making a reasonable effort, maybe more than a reasonable effort, to accommodate the local media. Yeah, I agree with that.
So there are a lot of restrictions based on what types of live reports. Is that what you're talking about, that can be done from certain media outlets from on site at training camp?
Yeah, I mean, the limiting live tweeting, for instance, from practices. You know, the Chiefs have had that rule in for a long time, but it's never been a league rule. The league has never mandated that. It's always been the teams that permit that. The teams that permit live tweet, or excuse me, that do not allow live tweeting from practice, they're going beyond what the league protocol is in that regard. But so yeah, that kind of thing. You know, it's sort of never been a rule to prohibit, in the league, it's never been a rule to prohibit conversations you might hear between coaches and players at practice. You know, the Chiefs have sort of encouraged media members not to report that in recent years. But again, that's gone beyond what the NFL policy has been. So, yeah, that kind of thing. I mean, those things really have nothing to do with the virus and the situation going on right now. You know, those things go beyond this. It just seems like that's something that the league wants and maybe teams want, as opposed to something that's necessary in these times.
Adam, thank you very much for the time, man. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, anytime, guys. Talk to you guys next time.
That is Adam Teicher from ESPN, who joins us every Monday. With Jeff passed a lot of good news from Jeff Passan this morning about baseball. Just tweet after tweet.
You know? Is that right?
If you want to be positive, MLB Network, 5 o'clock tonight, schedules get announced. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, see, I'll watch it. I mean, they got me in. I'm watching the damn thing. No, nothing. No excitement.
No, I'm excited. I want to see the schedule. Let's go. Let's find out who the Royals are opening up with.
No, let me guess, the White Sox. Oh, well. We should find out tonight at 5 o'clock. Let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to hear from Mike Matheny, who spoke to the media this morning already, talking about the Zoom access.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, Mike Matheny's talking to the media in the morning. Steaming hot cup of Matheny for you in the morning to wake your ass up, because we sure as hell can't.
We can't?
You know, not really. So we'll hear what time did he talk? Jake, does anyone, was it
8:15? I thought,
or 8:15?
It's early.
9 o'clock.
Lebo's text told to set as 8:15 is what he told us.
8:15. So we got some hot fresh Mike Matheny, hot fresh out of the oven. After this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.